I'm getting the nod to go ahead. If you're visiting with us today, we're so glad to have you with us. And we're glad that everybody's here, but especially if you're visiting, we're glad to see Dennis able to be here with us this morning. And anyone else, we're so thankful that you're able to be here. We do have visitor's cards available if you would like to fill one out in the back of the pews. And there's also visitor's cards in the fellowship hall. We have several announcements this morning that I need to read before I forget them. This is thank you to everyone who has donated items for the February items for the November packing party. We will be having another Operation Christmas Child meeting tomorrow, February the 24th at 7 p.m. Anyone interested in being involved with Operation Christmas Child at Bear Creek is welcome to attend. See Christy Coble or Kim Jones if you have any questions. Also, Chris asked me this morning to tell everyone thank you for all the prayers, texts, calls, cards, and support during their illnesses and recovery from Chris and Dan Harris. We're glad that they're able to be back with us. This is a thank you note. This is Bear Creek Mission Team and GAs and RAs. Thank you so much for the delicious dinner and for delivering it to me. Bear Creek is a blessing to be part of. Gene Zinsmeyer. Thank you, Gene. Also, this is the last Sunday I'm going to be taking information for the directory. If you have not filled out anything or if you have changed address, phone number, or anything, please pick up one of these little purple papers in some baskets sitting around at some places and fill it out and put it back in the basket, if you will, and we'll get that updated. And soon we hope to have this on our website. It will be password protected, so you don't have to worry about your information going to the wrong place. So next Sunday, make sure to mark this on your calendar and get up early because we're having breakfast at 9 o'clock. So don't forget. Also, today after service, we will be having a Sunday school adult teachers meeting in the library or in the fellowship hall somewhere over there. At 12:15, it says so. Anyway, after church. Okay, Jimmy wants to come and explain to us what the Gather 25 is that's going to be happening this week. So, Jimmy, if you'd come up and do that, please.
Gather 25 is an event that is going to be worldwide for believers from across the whole world, not just America. So Gather 25 is 25 hours of prayer because the year is 2025. So they're going to have 25 hours of prayer by believers. So what we put out sign-up sheets there in the vestibule and over here under the phone and then in the other building for anybody that knows a time during that day that they can pray. You don't have to pray for the whole hour. But if you can, that'd be great too. But if you don't have time to pray the whole hour and there's a particular time that you pray, you can write down on that hour. Same people or different people can have the same hour. It's don't matter what hour it is, but we want you to at least sign up for some particular time, and we're going to try and fill in to where we have somebody every hour of the 25 hours praying during sometime that day. Now, they will be broadcasting live that day from all over the world, too. The American part will be from 8 o'clock Friday night, which I didn't even give you the dates. The dates is February 28th through March 1st. The 25 hours starts at 8 p.m. Friday night, and we will be broadcasting in the fellowship hall the North American part. Well, we're going to broadcast it the whole 25 hours. So anytime that you can come and pray, if you can come here and pray, that would be great, too. Come here and pray, and you can see some of the broadcasts. But the North American series part will be from 8 to 11 o'clock Friday night. And so if you want to watch that, it will be being broadcast in the fellowship hall if you want to come see. I don't know exactly what they're going to be broadcasting. But what it is a call for believers to come to repentance, to pray for salvation among everyone that's not been saved. And man, if we can't pray for that, we need to look at our heart. And so please sign up to be a part of the Gather 25, and we'll try to find people to fill in for the hours that people can't be praying, okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy. Does anyone else have anything? If not, let's take our hymnals and turn to hymn number 7, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Morning.
Morning.
Years ago, I read a book by Billy Graham. Stayed with me for a long, long time. We all need prayer. We all need the Bible. We all need church. We all need love. And in that book, as Billy Graham was talking about the 50% divorce rate, he mentioned that if you go to church together, and read the Bible together, that and pray together, the divorce rate goes down to about zero. So we need to think about that, particularly what Jimmy was saying about the need for prayer. And thinking about some of the scripture read recently, you know, we're told the last verse in Matthew to go and tell and to baptize people. That's one of our biggest weaknesses in the church. And we're also told in Psalms to sing of our salvation each day, because it's so unbelievably important. And we're also told in Mark that Jesus told us that he would make them fishers of men. So it's pointed out very clearly in the scripture, and just pray that we can improve this country by involving those three things in our daily lives. And another challenge, I think, would be find a way to say something about Jesus, if you possibly can, to someone every day. how much that would change this world if we could do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to pray. Thank you for an opportunity to worship. Thank you for an opportunity to be here and share with one another. We're so glad to see people back with us that have been injured, who have been sick and have been in a hospital. We pray for those that are continuing to suffer with that, some in the hospital and some in, at home. We pray for each and every one of them that your healing presence will be upon them. As we go into the service where we worship by giving, which is a part of worship and is an opportunity to give, we pray that we'll take that very seriously and that each and every dollar will be used to further your kingdom. Pray for Greg today as he brings the service. In Christ's most precious and holy name, amen.
Morning. I'd like to welcome Dennis. Good to see you here. You and Greg having a race afterwards or something?
I think he brings his just calling.
Oh, you think so? Yeah. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for allowing us to be in your house today, Father. We as believers are gathered here to worship, Father, to praise you, Father. We praise you for your Son, Father, who went to the cross to die for our sins. And Father, and through that death, through that sacrificial death that has removed the stain of sin from each one of our lives who believe and call on the name Jesus, Father, we can come to you and worship and praise you for that precious gift, Father. We pray, Father, that you will just accept our praise and worship as an aroma of your sacrifice to us. We pray, God, that you'll be with Greg during his message, that you'll strengthen him with your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that each one of us will have our hearts open through your Spirit to just feel your word and feel your power. Father, we just thank you again that we can come before you, shout praises for your deliverance from our sin. Jesus, we thank you that you walked out of that tomb alive and are seated at the right hand of God, making intercessions for us. Father, because we can approach you boldly now, because that veil has been torn. And Father, we can walk into your house. We can walk into your temple, Father, and feel your love, feel your grace, and feel your mercy. And Father, it's in the holy name of Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen.
Let's turn to hymn number 571, Let Others See Jesus in You. Greet each other as the children come up for the children's song.
Good morning, everybody. So who can tell me what this is?
Tape.
It's tape. That's right. What is the purpose of tape?
Holding stuff together.
Holding stuff together. Yeah, yeah. What else?
My sister put tape in my book bag.
Okay, you got tape in your book bag? Fixing cars? Cars or cards? Cars. You want
to say something? Yeah.
All right. Well, let me ask you a quick question about this tape. I've got a couple pieces of paper here. Or I did. There they are. Do you think this tape would hold this paper together? All right, so what if I took this tape here?
No, it doesn't
fit. Now it's been rubbed across that blanket a little bit. How well do you think it's going to hold this paper together?
No.
Probably not as good. So the tape, that one does not hold so good together, right? All right. What do you think it didn't work as well? Well, so the dirty tape, we'll call it the dirty tape. It was less sticky and it was dirty. So we can agree that the clean tape worked better best, right?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah,
you want to try the tape?
Yeah.
You can sit there and try to tape it together. So this is kind of how, like she was saying, like he was telling us here, this is how a relationship with God can be if we allow things that he doesn't consider to be good and pure to enter our lives. He wants us to remain pure in heart, to have a clean heart, so that we remain near him at all times. When we let things that are not good and pure into our lives, then our relationship with God isn't as close or as good as it could be. So how can we know if something isn't good or pure? That's right. You can test it against God's word. You want to try that? I'll let you pray in just a minute, okay? All right. If it goes against God's word, then it isn't good or pure. Psalms 119, 9 through 11 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." So just as the psalmist wrote, let us each keep God daily and all that we do to keep our hearts clean and pure. Now, would you like to pray for us?
Jacob, for the fruit.
Dear Lord, thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for a warmer day. Help these people that have been getting the flu, stomach bug, and all this crud that's been going around. Help the poor get homes. It's been cold the past couple of days. Dear Lord, please continue to keep loving us and doing what you do to keep us safe in your heart. Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you for all these boys and girls, and God bless us with the food, and let everybody come, and let people just hope they have a great day and does not be rough. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this day that you provided. Father, we thank you for each of these children that are up here, for their desire, Father, to lead us in prayer each and every week. Father, should we all have that same desire and love to just want to reach out to you on just such a consistent basis. Father, just be with us through the rest of the service. Father, be with Pastor Greg as he leads us in the message today, Father, that we might see your son through him this morning and let the words reside in our heart. Father, we love you and praise you. It's through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Was that babe born in Bethlehem? They laid him in a manger. There was no room in the inn. He was born of a virgin, God's only son. The angel shouted in the night that Christ had come. Who was that man of Galilee? He made the lame to walk and caused the blind to see. He cleansed and healed the leper. He spoke with authority. He broke the chains of sin and doubt and set the captive free. He was so much man that he slept in a boat, yet he was so much God that the wind ceased when he spoke. He was so much man that he wept when Lazarus died, yet he was so much God. Lazarus came forth when he cried. He was so much man that he thirsted at the well, yet he was so much God that he saved her soul from hell. He was so much man that he died upon a tree. He was so much God that he rose in victory. Nothing's too big for my God. No, no, nothing's too big for my God. Not gonna be discouraged, not gonna be depressed. Nothing's too big for my God. He was so much man that he slept in a boat, yet he was so much God that the wind ceased when he spoke. He was so much man that he wept when Lazarus died, yet he was so much God. Lazarus came forth when he cried. He was so much man that he thirsted at the well, yet he was so much God that he saved her soul from hell. He was so much man that he died upon a tree. He was so much God that he rose in victory. So much man, he was so much God, he was so much man, yet he was much more God than he rose in victory.
Yes, amen. What a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Rodney was joking a while ago when he was talking about Dennis and I racing. Let me tell you something. You set something good to eat up here, we'll show you how fast we can move. Amen. Brother Dennis is our director of missions for the Yadkin Baptist Association. If you don't know him, Reverend Dennis Shaw, you need to get to know him. One of my favorite things about Dennis is this, and I always tell it, but it's just so true. If he calls me and says, we need to have a meeting, we're going to eat. If you've never been introduced to Jim's Grill, go with him one time. If he calls you and says, we're going to eat, get there in a hurry. But I want to say also, yesterday was Stephanie and I's 40th wedding anniversary, so praise be to God for that. I can tell you this, with Stephanie and I together in 40 years, never a dull moment. We've laughed and we've cried, but mostly we've laughed. We've had a good time, and I am thank the Lord for her, and thank you for 40 years together. So anyway, what a week it's been. Nothing like North Carolina weather, is there? Yeah, man, it was Florida one day and Alaska the next, and now we're creeping back towards Florida again. Something for everyone, right? And let me say this to all you folks that love cold weather and snow, especially Trish, I hope you're happy. I don't really like it. The older I get, the less I like that cold weather, but I hope that's the last of it. Nevertheless, I'm told that there's a purpose and a reason for all weathers we have, and God's will be done. I'm just glad we're able to be here together today in spite of things like that. I think there's nothing like Sunday mornings in church. I love the enthusiasm that you see in the faces of people when they're coming out of Sunday school. They're already fired up and ready to go. We have such good teachers here, such a good Sunday school program. Then we roll right into worship, and I just love being in here to worship with you. But all of it is such sweet and precious fellowship when we gather together. Amen? So that in mind, let me ask you, are you ready to get into the message? Absolutely. Did you come hungry and ready to be fed by His Word? Then let's go. Let's get into it. I'm sure most of us are familiar with this phrase, the hands and feet of Christ. Everybody here knows that phrase. I believe most faithful believers desire to be the hands and feet of Christ in a world that truly needs Him so badly. That's certainly an idea rooted in Scripture. We often connect it with passages like Matthew 25 that we're going to be looking at today and other such calls to the people of God to serve like Jesus. Think about that. What a wonderful way to spend your life. What a blessed endeavor, amen? Amen, to serve the Lord. But first, and very important, before we set about to be His hands and feet, we need a holy eye exam. Holy eye exam. We need our vision checked. We need to make sure that we have eyes like Jesus with the ability to see like Jesus. Church, it'd be very easy to set out with every good intention and still fail in the mission if we lack the proper sight. Have you ever had what you thought was such a good idea up front? Man, this is going to work. And then it ended with far less than good results. Anybody? Hands. Yeah, I'm glad I'm not alone in this. Misery does love company, don't it? Ain't that something? Anyway, it's good to know I'm not alone in my occasional failures. Anyway, with time and experience, I've learned at least a little bit through trial and error. You don't get 35 years old like Dan and I without having learned something, right, Dan? We've learned a few things. Certainly, one was watching my step. I mean, I'm getting really good at that of late. I've learned things. I've learned in recent years, when you see one who appears to need help, rather than assuming what that help is, take a moment and ask, brother, how can I help you? It changes things. Makes sense. What I think may be helpful may not be as much so as I imagine. That's just good old country common sense right there, isn't it? But let's dig a little deeper here. Again, remember, we're seeking to be the hands and feet of Christ. And so if we're to truly represent Christ, it would be a good idea to do a little bit of asking of Him before we go into a situation. A little bit of asking that old WWJD question, what would Jesus do? And not just in general, but rather asking Him personally, Lord, what would You have me to do in a situation, even to the extent we'll consider today, and we'd pray like this, Lord, not only do I want to be Your hands and feet, but Jesus, also I seek to see as You see. Wouldn't that change things if we did that? Everything we set about to do, wouldn't it eliminate our well-intentioned failures? Wouldn't that assure us we're doing what Jesus would do, and more so what He would have us to do if we saw like Jesus sees? And so if you like the sound of that, I want us to dig in this morning and see if we can make some progress in that direction. Go ahead and be turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to focus on mainly on verses 34 through 40, but I think for context, we'll read 31 through 40. Again, and in this, when we get to the message, we're picking up right in the middle of Jesus' teaching on the final judgment that you'll see in that picture. But there are three things in this that we're going to look at today. Look at, that's a pun, yes, you know, we're holy eye exam. Tough crowd today. Anyway, three things, though, that I had never seen before in previous studies as I looked at this. Remember, this is a holy eye exam, and hopefully through this, there'll be three things that will happen. First, we'll learn to see others as Jesus does, and we'll learn to see the task. We'll learn to see the work as Jesus does. And then, and this may be the big one in all of this, we need to learn to see ourselves as Jesus does. Got your attention? Are you with me? As Jerry Myers, how many of y'all are old enough to remember Jerry Myers in the RA program? What did he tell you, Jackson? That's right, eyes on me. That's right, he remembered it. So, eyes on me. All right, if you have your place in Matthew 25, we'll back up to 31 and read 31 through 40. Again, when we get to the message, we're focusing on 34 through 40. But here's what it says. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Man, what an idea that is. What a picture that presents. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And He said, "For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed Me. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, My brothers, you did it to Me." Amen. All right, so say to the person beside you, do you see where he's headed with this? I think I need my eyes examined. All right. I love my church family. All right. Bow with me for prayer. Father, as we go into this time of worship today, we pray that Your message will be clear, that Your word will be shared in a way pleasing before You. Father, we pray that all that's done here today will truly draw us into a right relationship with You, Lord. Draw us into a better working relationship with You. Draw us into a place where we truly see as Jesus sees, to do the things Jesus has called us to do. Father, help us, overtake us with the power of Your Holy Spirit today for this time together. Our Father, through Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so this passage, it definitely highlights a future event, what we're looking at here, a final judgment with Jesus, a righteous judge, sitting on His throne with the nations of the world all before Him. And we see the great separation, the sheep from the goat, the saved from the lost, the heaven-bound from those to be cast into hell. And what a day that will be, church, and far closer than it's ever been. And it presents a hopeful scene for the faithful and certainly a dire warning for the lost, for sure. And again, a future event. But I want you to understand something. We dare not overlook a present application, church, and really think about this. Think about why we are here and what Jesus has for us to do in our few years of life. Because what we do now, church, has bearing on what happens then in that future event. That very scene yet to come is or can be somewhat determined by you and I. Have you ever thought about that? Think about yourself in that situation. Church, who will be counted among the sheep because you reached out to them? Who will be there because you did that? And who will be counted as among the goats, counted among those divided away to condemnation because you and I didn't do something to reach them? We hear that term today a lot. We hear people talking about the goat, right? You know what I'm talking about? Used a lot for athletes, attached to athletes as abbreviation for greatest of all time, right? Greatest of all time. Let me be very clear, though, in this passage, what Jesus is saying here about the goat. There's nothing great about it. In fact, anything but, and it's going to be a name that it's not going to be a name anyone will want to be on that day pictured here. And I had a wonderful, blessed time of conversation with a dear friend this week about how important it is to avail of every opportunity we have to witness to others. It's been mentioned today a couple of times, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost. Does that ever cross your mind in your conversations with others? Think about how many people we interact with in a day or a week. Do you ever feel any burden to simply ask, "Brother, how do you feel about Jesus? Sister, what do you think about what Jesus did for us?" That simple, right? But we overlook it. In church, that's the here and now work that will be realized to the fullest, though, on the day of judgment represented in this passage. There's things that we need to do now. And here's some perspective before I roll into the points of this message. But think of this scene in the scripture passage as a painting, okay? And think of yourself sort of as the artist. And think of everyone you meet as being in the painting. By the way, they will be there. All of us will be there in some capacity. And by your efforts, will it be determined on which side of the painting they are forever to be placed, sheep or goat, based on what you have or have not done. We'll come back to that thought later, but that's how important it is. I want that to sink into your hearts, to do what we're about to consider today. Not only, church, being his hands and feet, but also having the vision in order to succeed at this. Okay, first thing we need to think about, do we see others as Jesus does? Do we see others as Jesus? And it's all over this passage when we get to seeing it. We see the high importance Jesus places on even the most basic needs of others, right? He highlighted food, clothing, help and illness, hospitality to those who might consider a stranger. We see Jesus' heart to those we call the prisoner and friends. This is by no means any type of an exhaustive list, but rather a general representation of the most commonly marginalized people in the world today. The poor, the homeless, those without, those whose mistakes have left them in bad situations and bad circumstances, maybe at times mistakes that have cost them greatly. You might also add to the list, because it's such a generalized list, those from different countries, cultures, or races. Simply, quite often, those who don't look like us or think like us or vote like us or believe like us. And we look at them differently for that. How do we see them? Do we see them as an inconvenience? Do we see them as an enemy? Do we see them as beneath us? For if we were to see them as Jesus does, we might begin to erase all such thoughts. For Jesus here clearly saw them as created in his own image. Church, what does he say there? He said, whatever you do for the least of these, you have what? Done for me. Wow. When was the last time that you looked at a beggar on the corner and thought, there stands Jesus? Or at least, here stands one created in his image. And church, sometimes pastors have to live out their own sermons. I was challenged on this yesterday and I failed. I was coming to a busy intersection and there was a guy standing there. And I said, oh, I'm counting the cars, that light's going to turn red. And sure enough, there he is. What do you do in that situation? Man, I was messing with the radio. We're looking at the car beside me or looking up at the sky. And finally, the light turned green and I come up out of there. I didn't make it a half a mile and my heart convicted me so deeply. The Lord said, turn this truck around. So I did. I couldn't live with it. I said, the shame and the guilt, I'm going to stand up here and preach this today and failed it yesterday. Thank the Lord for second chances. I flipped that truck around. I went back and took the roads I had to take to get back in that line. This is how God moves. There wasn't a car in front of me or a car behind me when I got back to that man at that light. And I was able to roll down the window and give him a little something to help him along, but more so, bless him of the Lord. Doing what we're called to do. We have to have the eyes of Jesus to see that man as something more than a beggar standing on the corner. There's more to it than that. And we might begin by at least considering there stands an opportunity to do something for another just as Jesus did for others. And we might consider, but for the grace of God, that might be you or I standing there in that corner. Amen? Amen? You realize this, fortunes rise and fall in this world quite quickly. You can have it all today and lose it all tomorrow. That quick, and it might be you. Anyway, we have to learn to see others as Jesus does and do what Jesus has called us to do in response to the needs. And my prayer today in regard to this needs to be, Lord, give us all eyes to see like Jesus. I love the words in the 119th Psalm. Somebody was quoting that earlier over here, but the writer said, I will meditate on your precepts. He's talking to the Lord and fix my eyes on your ways. He's starting to see like Jesus. And I will delight in your statutes, he said. And will not forget your word. And he said then in a prayer to the Lord as he was doing this, he said, open my eyes that I might behold the wondrous things of your law, Lord. Eyes like Jesus. And we might use those as a prayer each day. We might recount those words to the Lord daily. We might see as Jesus sees and do as Jesus does. Then we can truly be what we want to be, the hands and feet of Christ. Amen? All right, let's look at the next thing to consider. Seeing the work as Jesus sees it. And we're going back to those same verses. We're going to camp out on those 34 through 40. But those same verses, feeding, providing water, clothing, visiting, and ministering to those in prison, those with illness. Let me ask you something. Is that high and lofty work? Not usually. But I want you to understand this. It represents a high and lofty calling, doesn't it? Have you ever seen it that way? You know, most see it as a less than preferable profession. Most would rather do something else or some other way of serving the Lord. But then if we are to see these tasks as Jesus did, that also has to change. You know, we're talking here about being the hands and feet of the one who thought it not beneath him to wash feet, church. We're talking about Jesus who waited tables, the one who sat at the same table with tax collectors and sinners, the one who wouldn't avoid a beggar, who didn't run away from a blind man or a leper or a grieving widow. We're talking about the one who wept with a grieving family at a three-day-old graveside. This is the one, as Paul said in Philippians 2, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, being born in the likeness of men, and further, being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, church. And how can we as followers of him, our Lord Jesus Christ, ever look at any task and see it as beneath us? I think we need only to take a good and honest look at the cross and think about the path that Jesus walked to arrive there, to cause us then to see what Jesus saw in order that we might see what we might at first see as a menial task, and suddenly it is a high and holy calling. Don't say, I have to do this today. Lord, I get to do this today. I get to build a ramp or help a lady or give somebody some money that's hungry, whatever. I get to do this. Amen? And instead, and then Paul justified this whole mindset. Same passage, Philippians 2, and I love this, and we need to get this. In the same passage, verse 6 of chapter 2, he said, have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus. See the work as Jesus sees it. Church, when we get to that point, when we do that, I think it'd be the very epitome of arrogance to consider anything Jesus calls us to do as beneath us when we spend any time at all thinking about what Jesus has done for us. The church, if we're ever to truly see the work the way Jesus does, if we're to ever successfully be the hands and feet of Christ, we cannot be concerned about getting ours dirty. Amen? For any work we do, church, in serving Jesus is holy work, even when others may see it as dirty work. Still with me? Ready? Dennis is going to take over when I get done. He preached at court and he's coming here because he wasn't done yet. Amen. All right. Okay, so we considered how Jesus sees others, and we considered how he sees the work. And as I said earlier, the next one may be the most difficult because we got to figure out how to see ourselves as Jesus does here. Now, there's a whole lot of people who look at the work of the church, the kingdom work, and automatically disqualify themselves, right? I don't know how. I'm not a good speaker. Don't know enough about the Bible. Don't have the time. Don't feel called. Don't feel led to that. You know, some will pass the buck. That's the deacon's job. That's the preacher's job. It might be beneath you, above you, beyond you, whatever. When it comes to serving the Lord, you just don't see yourself as the one, right? Got to be somebody else. My friends, Jesus does, though. He sees you there. In this passage, in this great gathering, you might as well get used to it. You will be there. You're going to be in that picture. You're accounted as among those, hopefully, in verse 34, who are to the right side of Jesus, the sheep. It surely won't be only be deacons and pastors there. Let me tell you this. Deacons and pastors are far and away outnumbered by those of the body of Christ who just get up every day and go to school and go to jobs and simply make a mission field of wherever Jesus has planted them. You're all qualified. Often you're working in places that pastors won't get to, and it would have no influence if he did get there. Church, Jesus saw you there when he taught this lesson. In fact, he saw you with confident expectation of your participation. He saw you as among those who fed and as among those who clothed and who visited and who ministered to others. I love the Apostle Paul's reminder to the believers at Ephesus. chapter 2, verse 10, he said to them, what? He said, we are his workmanship. He's talking about God who created us in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. You were created for this. And listen to what else it says, which God prepared beforehand. This was already on his mind that you would do this. He set aside this job for you that we should walk in them, these good works. Church, surely you can see it in his words. Think about what he says. There is confident expectation of your participation in the work, as Paul said, the work that God prepared for you to do. No exceptions. Amen? My friends, I want you to realize and embrace this thing that Jesus has you painted into this picture that I asked you to envision earlier. You really need to think about yourselves this way. Brother Wiebe, you're in this picture. God has you painted into that picture. Brother Glenn, God has you painted into this picture. Gene and Gary, God has you painted into this picture. Brother Dennis, God has you painted into this picture with your long fork in hand ready to eat. But you are there. You are, church, the hands and feet of Christ in this world. Now, let me tell you this, just so you'll be encouraged. This was never about your great talents or abilities. It was never about a question of your equipping. And however cliche it may seem, Jesus truly does equip those he calls. All of us. You will have what you need when you need it to do what he sets before you to do, unfailing in his equipping of you. Saved child of God, did Jesus send you, promise to send you a helper? Yes, he did. And do you have that helper, the Holy Spirit, within you? Yes, you do. It's there. And church, we've all, in our highest and holiest moments, quoted Philippians 4:13, haven't we? Man, we love it, don't we? Do we live it? Let's say this together. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And you can, my friends. These things, the kingdom things, the things Jesus taught here and everything else he sets before you to accomplish, you can do them through Christ who gives you strength. Here's my testimony today. I got to testify. We Baptists, we can still testify, right? But he sure took my poor dumb country boy self and called me to preach. Me who had no prior education, very little experience. Me whose greatest fear is public speaking and tries a might to argue against it. I found no peace until I surrendered to Jesus and said this, just like we sing, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. For he knew me better than I thought I knew myself. And he'd already painted me into that picture just like he has you with a plan and a purpose in mind. And he is confident you will do as I did and trust his higher thoughts and ways and go where he's leading you to go and do what he's calling you to do. And let me ask you now to look to him and say, have thine own way. Will you do it? Say it now. Have thine own way, Lord. And here's my own personal motto that I'd be proud to share with you. This is my personal little pep talk that I have to remind myself on a regular basis. When I'm standing up against something that's just too big and I can't figure it out and I'm terrified, I'm scared to death to set about to do it, same thing I told myself when God called me to preach, let your love of the Lord be greater than the fear of the task. Amen. Feel free to personalize it, keep it, and use it. Let your love of the Lord be greater than the fear of the task. See yourself that way. Church, it's our time in history because history is winding down to a soon conclusion. The final chapter is just ahead. But we need to see as Jesus sees, serving as his hands and feet, picking up that brush and painting more precious souls into the right side of the picture among the sheep on Judgment Day. Again, and you think about this, and it's convicting, who will be there because you did? Who won't be there because you didn't? Let me ask you this, can you live with that now? Can you die with that thought on your mind? And can you stand before Jesus with your heart and conscience clear on Judgment Day for what you did or didn't do? It may seem harsh, but let me tell you something. The very souls of lost men and women depend on what we are called to do as the hands and feet of Christ, seeing them with the eyes of Jesus, and he who died for you expects you to live for him this life of service. That's for us. Our time to shine, our time to be his hands and feet. As we come to this time of invitation, what is Jesus speaking to your heart today? You know and he knows. What will you do with that? Will you respond? Look, this might be the first step of the greater things to come, that first time for your love of the Lord to be greater than the fear of the task. It's a fearful thing, front building, back building, all that's watching today, to make that first step into the aisle and come to his altar. I've done it shaking in my boots, knees knocking, just like I do every Sunday standing here. It's a fearful thing, but it's important. That, or maybe to express your desire to be baptized, come today for that. Or to become a member of this church, maybe a recommitment of your faith. Again, you know and Jesus knows what he's speaking to your heart today. You know and Jesus knows where you are in your walk, where you are in your faith, what needs to be done. And look, he said this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And it really does challenge us all. But Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, he said, if you will acknowledge me before man, I will acknowledge you before the Father. Are you proud of the name of Jesus? Are you proud of your faith in Jesus? Never be too afraid to share it. Be bold, be brave in your acknowledging in your faith in Jesus. Do so before men. And what a joy to know he's acknowledging then your name before the Father. Wouldn't you love to know Jesus spoke your name, Brother Gene, before the Heavenly Father? What a blessing, what a privilege. I'm going to pray, and then the altar is yours today, and I only simply ask you to come as you are led by the Lord, whatever he'd have you to do in this sacred hour. Bow with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you, Lord, that your word not only feeds us, not only encourages us, but often there are those times when it convicts us. Lord, what causes us to move more than conviction? What causes us to move more than challenges at times? So, Lord, today, however you're working in and through the hearts of your people, Lord, convict them unto change or encourage them unto movement or whatever it takes, Lord, for us to leave here ready to do what it is you called us to do. Lord, it doesn't take much sight to look outside these doors and see the great need in the world. There's needs of all kinds, but above all, there's a spiritual need, a need to know Jesus. It's just like a disease in which, Lord, only your people have the cure. Lord, let us be bold to share the cure with others. Let us be bold to be the hands and feet of Jesus with the eyes of Jesus to see those who need to know you and share the gospel message with them. Father, at this time of invitation, have thine own way. And it's through Christ's name we pray. Amen. Won't you come as Christ leads you?
Hymn number 295.
Thank you.
As we go into the week, let's stay near to the heart of God. Keep talking to Him, speaking to Him. Has it been good to be in the house of the Lord today?
Amen.
Do you see it? Is your vision clear? When you look out there tomorrow, look out there today as you leave to go to lunch, will you see what Jesus sees? Will you do what He's called us to do? It's that simple. It's not complicated. And if you acknowledge Him before a man, He's going to be acknowledging you before the Father in heaven. Man, I want Him speaking every one of y'all's names. He looks down and says, man, that bunch is something else. They're really getting it done. So proud of you. It's not often that we have such a dignitary with us as Brother Dennis. We've had him today, but he's one of my dearest and closest friends. I love him like a brother. I look up to him because he's 6 inches taller than me, but I do. He has been just a blessing in my life and in my spiritual growth, and I'm going to ask him if he will. I'm not going to make you climb the ladder here, but I'm going to hand you a mic if you don't mind and let you close us in prayer today.
Okay, it's good to be with y'all today. I hadn't been out in a couple of months, and every time I see somebody, they say, how's this doing or how am I doing? And I say, well, that's all right, but now it's something else. So it's been all over the case. I fell and messed up my knee, and then they found I needed a stent in my head and kidney stone and gallstone, and they're going to get back to my knee March the 10th. But my wife had shoulder surgery 3 weeks ago, and she's developed plantar fasciitis. Did I say that right? So when you pray for me and my family, you don't know, just pray for head and shoulders, knees and toes. Amen. And that anywhere in between, that'll cover us. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord, wasn't it? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this beautiful day. Thank You for this time that we gather together. Here is the family of God. And just as Greg has shared from this passage of Scripture, that when the picture, we look into the picture, we see every face that's here today, and many of those that will add to this picture by telling them the good news of Christ. And Father, I pray that as we go our separate ways today, that You'll give us safety as we travel. And Father, that You will open our eyes that we might see others the way You see them, and that You will burden our heart that we might share Christ with them. Father, I pray that You will forgive us of our sins, for we pray this in the name that is above every name, the name of Christ. Amen.